The story of our ancestors is truly great, exciting, and worthy of retelling from time to time. We have been here on our Mother Earth land, which the Europeans have called America, the New World, the Western Hemisphere, for a long, long time. The mountains, foothills, and valleys literally show the moccasin footprints of the ancient ones as they passed through here, camped in temporary rock shelters, saw vision in the peaks, and lived here for some time. Our tellers of stories and keepers of tribal annals can take us back into the past for only about 400 years. Beyond that, our histories quickly fade into the darkness of time. Here, a new breed of storytellers, the modern archaeologists, take up the task of telling the stories of the ancient ones. Almost daily, they enlighten us with new and interesting stories as they delve deeper and deeper into the long, long ago times. These archaeologists, armed with sophisticated chemical dating devices, now tell us that our predecessors have been here for some 30 to 40,000 years. As we stand here this day, we can boast and proudly proclaim membership in the oldest living race of mankind in the world. So now may I review a chapter in our proud racial history and tell when and where our ancestors did dwell. This is indeed a long story and cannot be told in one setting. The title of this chapter is From MM to MD, meaning from medicine man to doctor of medicine, and in a broader sense, the title means from medicine bundle to doctor's black bag, or from medicine lodge to PHS hospital. These expressions attest to the Indians' achievements and progress in the art and science of healing the sick and in treating the lame and his contribution to the development of America and world medicine. But before we go into the main story, terminology and semantic problems must be clarified. First, let us analyze what is meant by the term medicine, Indian medicine, and of course, medicine man. Webster's dictionary defines medicine as a substance or preparation used in treating disease, something that affects well-being. And in a broad sense, the dictionary recognizes medicine as a science and art of preventing, alleviating, or curing diseases. And in a specific sense, the dictionary defines medicine as an object held by North American Indians to give control over natural and magical forces, also magical power and rituals. It is the last definition describing Indian medicine only in terms of magical, mystical, and the ritualistic that concerns and perhaps disturbs many Indians today. No doubt Christian settlers who regarded the natives of this new world as savages and heathens first formed this concept, and has been perpetuated by the ethnocentric white man ever since. In fact, the expression medicine and Indian medicine are white man's words as surely as papoose, squaw, tomahawk, tom-tom, and many others. So we ask, what is a white man trying to say when he describes something as having good medicine or bad medicine, having strong or poor medicine? And when he says medicine, is he talking about a buckskin pouch containing healing herbs or containing objects representing certain mysterious and supernatural powers? And who or what is this person the white man likes to call medicine man or shaman? Is he talking about a man earnestly treating and healing the sick, lame and wounded, or is he talking about a man using ritual and ceremony and making a prophecy, dealing with a severe natural happening, or solving a great mystery confronting the people? It is all confusing, isn't it? I think the only way to clarify the situation is to ask and find out how the Indian themselves name, explain, and describe these things. For the Indian, the term medicine embraces much more than curing the diseases and healing of injuries. It includes that which is mysterious, holy, sacred, and supernatural. The Sioux have a nice word for it, Wakan, as did some Western tribes in the word Manitou. The central and former aspects of Indian medicine were ceremony in nature. As such, then the healing arts of the Indian were, and still are, the integral part of his religion. To the Indian, medicine and religion are closely interwoven and knitted together. One is an integral part of the other, and one cannot function without the other. It is almost impossible to tell where practical healing ends and ceremonial healing begins. Matters get complicated when the always pesky art of magic enters the picture. To be sure, the tribes of North America had a wide variety of religions and healing systems. Some of the more primitive tribes had but one medical and religious practitioner who handled all the healing tasks of the tribe by himself. In the more advanced, sedentary, and agricultural tribes, there were many specialist healers, professional priests, and healing societies. Their function ranged from simple treatment of sick and injured individuals to holding complex and highly sophisticated ceremonies that dealt with the welfare and well-being of entire tribal populations. There was, however, one thing that the tribes held more or less in common. This concerned the attitude, concept, and philosophy of the cause and cure of diseases. In general, North American tribes classed diseases by cause rather than by symptoms, the part of the body affected, or any other characteristic. It seemed that they were primarily concerned with why a person was sick or hurt rather than with what the sickness or injury was all about. These causes were identified and listed under two categories, the natural and the supernatural. Natural cause diseases and illnesses were such as complications from childbirth, broken bones, wounds from warfare, or encounters with animals and accidents. Death in early childhood and deaths from old age were also considered natural. Supernaturally caused diseases and afflictions were such things as bad luck due to breaking taboos, loss of soul, possession by evil spirits, intrusion of foreign objects into the body, and effect of witchcraft or black magic. The method of treating and curing the sick, injured, and afflicted depended on the type of cause diagnosed. The treatment of naturally caused ailments involved practical knowledge of physical manipulations and techniques such as heat treatments, cauterization, bone setting, sutures, poultices, and so on, and also the use of time-proven and usually dependable medicinal herbs. The treatment of supernatural caused ailments and affliction was a much more serious and complicated affair. Any one of the causes already mentioned could create a large number of symptoms and complications, to use a modern medical term. Thus, professional diagnosis was necessary. And this brings us face to face with the so-called medicine man. So we ask again, who and what was this individual called medicine man by the white men? Wekasa Wakan by the Sioux, Betsy Bexby by the Crow, and other names by the other tribes. To be sure, he was not always an Indian. Primitive men of all races, ages, and parts of the world had them. This medicine man, or better, man of medicine, was both born and made. He was born of supernatural circumstances and made of natural circumstances. First, we ask, how was he made? He was made over thousands of centuries of gastronomical experimentation with unknown plants. Some killed him and some cured him, of course, but then he came through with good and practical knowledge of herbs that were best suited for relieving and curing his aches and pains. This was the practitioner who generally first handled the common ailment and injuries diagnosed to be caused by natural things and circumstances. He was a specialist who knew by training what herb to prescribe for toothaches, skin troubles, insects and snake bites, broken ankles, wounds, and other common and external ailments. Next, we ask how he was born to be a medicine man. There comes a time in the lives of people, family groups, clan, band, tribe, when an event or a series of happenings disrupts the ordinary, routine, and usually ways of doing things and living. The people are not able to explain it, they can't straighten things out, or they are powerless to do anything about it. This, then, is a time when the people start wondering, guessing, and finally blaming the bad state of affairs on an outside cause, some big force or forces beyond the realm of natural. Here, as men seek and attempt to influence, guard, regulate, and control the supernatural forces or power causing all the troubles, and establish a better working relationship, the medicine man is born. With his innate intelligence and other capabilities, which are perhaps more acute, sensitive and responsive than in other people, the medicine man comes up with the definition of a situation and a solution. To be sure, he does not come up with an instant answer. He must go through a period of soul searching, propitiation and vision seeking, Ultimately, he must experience a holy communion with the great power and gain spiritual insight and wisdom in the ways of the great spirit. It is then known that this man can receive power and use it to help his people in sickness and distress. Thus he becomes the man, the special one, who can use supernatural powers to diagnose the cause of serious ailment, injuries, and wounds, and be able to prescribe the right treatment and cure. He becomes the man who is able to diagnose the cause of a great tribulation threatening his people and to invoke the appropriate ceremonial procedure to solve or otherwise relieve and release the people from the situation. He can look into the future and foretell or prophesy coming events, good or bad. If bad, he's able to avoid or circumvent the impending threat. There were medicine men and medicine men, which to say that there were divisions, classes, and ranks in this profession. These were, of course, arranged differently from the tribe to tribe and from culture area to culture area, but they were basically the same. One thing is sure, this unusual and interesting individual was more than just a white man's stereotype image of a character in weirdo costumes and paraphernalia, vanishing rattles and feathers, muttering unintelligible grunts and chanting invocations, and jumping and hovering over a poor, sick, and scared person. More often, he is depicted as deceiving his patient or his subject with trickery and sleight of hand. It is said that he lived and thrived by imposing on the credulity of those dependent on him and by asking exorbitant fees. On the contrary, the average Indian medical or holy man was a decent sort, hardworking, sincere, aware of the seriousness of his responsibility, and dedicated to the individual well-being and general welfare of his people and community. It is indeed unfortunate that the true image of this indispensable man of the tribe and his genuine and great contribution have long been belittled, tarnished, and obscured by ethnocentric white man. Now, in coming to the last pages of this chapter of our story, let me hurriedly describe the usual and general arrangements and classification that the Northern Plains Indians use describing their medical and holy men engaged in the healing and problem-solving business. The following order of arrangement is based primarily on the seriousness of the ailment or situation involved and the caliber of treatment thus called for. Non-professionals using simple and commonly known home remedies in treating simple ailments and injuries, equivalent to first aid treatment. It was usually the wise old grandmother who treated the immediate members of the family as part of her daily chores. General practitioners treating minor ailments and injuries with practical therapeutic and well-known medicinal and healing herbs. These people might treat any patient and might or might not accept remuneration for their services. They did their job without fanfare. Professional specialists who treated only certain serious and obstinate diseases, injuries, and afflictions believed or diagnosed to be caused by supernatural agents. They used special compounds whose formulas were known only to them, and they also used ritual and ceremony. Such a personality received his powers from supernatural beings or agent during a vision quest. They asked for set or special fees. Holy men who dealt exclusively in non-body afflictions believed to be caused by supernatural agents, such as dangerous events threatening the people, famine, severe weather, etc. These men depended upon and used a full ceremonial or religious approach. The men in this category asked for no material compensation, receiving instead the gratitude, respect, and allegiance of their people. These men were usually head chiefs and men of high rank. Prophets and visionaries who were concerned and responsible for the welfare of war parties and hunting parties, as well as the entire community. These men could foretell important coming events and advise what action to take. Like representative of the previous category, they were generally head chiefs and men of high rank who asked no compensation for their services other than the gratitude, respect, and allegiance of the people. In addition to the five classes, some tribes had healing societies organizations, variously named by the medicine lodge, the wound healing order, and so on, that ministered to all forms of illness, injury, and community problems. These organizations used group consultations and participation in elaborate ceremonies was utilized involving singing, dance, and other activities. Then there is a class of pseudo-medicine men who resort to and utilize trickery and false means. In general, these practitioners use magic, sorcery, and witchcraft. They could do good or evil. They too could treat sickness and find lost articles, horses, and even humans. They could prescribe love medicine, but they also cast spells and curses on their fellow man. They could become false prophets. Now I ask myself, how can I bring to a close the retelling of this chapter of Indian story on a fitting note? Certainly we Indians have developed our medicine bundles into large medical cabinets and storage rooms full of powerful drugs and sophisticated medical instruments. It is said that no fewer than 170 Indian proven medicinal herbs and plants have been accepted and added to the official U.S. Pharmacopoeia and the National Formulary. And certainly our MMs, medicine men, can and have metamorphosed into full-fledged modern MDs. I understand there are today about 45 Indian physicians occupying high positions in the medical profession throughout the United States, and about 27 medical students and a host of pre-meds. Our story from MM to MD has been good, and let us hope that it will get better and better.
We hope you've enjoyed Sunset Productions' presentation of From the Heart of the Crow Country by Joseph Medicine Crow, as performed by Albert Cotta. This Sunset Productions presentation has been produced by Kurt Mueller at Sunset Studios, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Copyright 1995, all rights reserved. I'm Richard Stark, and we thank you for listening.